The Drive is brought to you on demand by Assignar Construction Operations Software. Visit keepbuilding.com for a free demonstration and see how much your business can save.
Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan presents six. The Drive with the top six at six.
How about six? Six is good.
Who's it on, Tyler, that today was low energy on the first day of pads?
A little bit on a lot of people, but it starts at the top, and it starts with the leadership and the tempo and what your goals were for that practice, and that goes to Vic Fangio. That's where it starts, for sure. He clearly delivered a message today that today was not about having full pads on. That's not what the message was going to be. We shouldn't be doing anything different. We don't need to be going any more intense. We need to protect each other. We need to look out for one another. All good messages. I agree with all of it fundamentally. There's a time and a place to go after it. There's a time and a place to protect one another.
Mm-hmm.
It felt to me like this was a top-down deal. It felt to me like the structure of the practice was organized in a manner in which we weren't ever going to let the guys get to the point where blood pressure was going to get too high. I mean, yeah, we've had some fun with the throwing the ball away, but that's a top-down situation. Like, the head coach organizes practice, and he dang sure better be aware of what the offense is practicing, and if he wasn't aware, that's a bigger problem. So it's on the head coach.
Ringing Kevin.
Okay, outside of the we were actually trying to throw incompletions comment.
Yes.
Pat Shurmur did have a few comments in regards to Teddy Bridgewater, in regards to Drew Locke. Talked about Drew Locke looking the best that he's ever been.
Mm-hmm.
Talked about Teddy being a guy that looks similar to the way he thought he would play based off of his history.
Mm-hmm.
Did you garner any information based off the tone that he spoke about each player?
Not really. The only thing that I could surmise from today and some of the comments he made, I did take it seriously when he said the sooner the better in terms of developing chemistry with the starting union. I think that is correct. I think that's something we've speculated, and he said it. He also said that this is up to Coach Fangio. So I guess I'd throw this question kind of back at you and say, really? So this is Coach Fangio's decision. Fangio's not sitting there like, hey, Pat, who's it going to be? I guess I am throwing that question back to you.
I guess I missed that. So he said that the quarterback decision will be Fangio's?
Yeah.
Pat Shurmur said that.
Yes, he did.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
There's a little bit of deflection in there. There's a little bit of, that's almost like a Vic Fangio talking about when the offensive coordinator decided he wanted to take a knee. This is like, hey, whatever quarterback is decided, not my decision. I'm actually surprised by that. I would think that Vic Fangio would 100% let Pat Shurmur make that decision. That's interesting. When I listen to the tone, I don't think it's a surprise that everybody in the building feels more hope around Drew Locke. And I do think that I heard that in the way that he spoke about Drew Locke. Mm-hmm. I think that Pat Shurmur spoke in a manner of, yeah, Drew's playing as good a football as I've ever seen right now.
Yeah.
And people genuinely do want Drew Locke to take the job. Yet there's also like a reality in the way that they speak about Teddy Bridgewater. It's not necessarily filled with hope, but it's reality. This is who I thought he was going to be. So I think the interesting point here is that people still do want Drew Locke to work out because it's obvious he brings the most hope.
Ring and Kevin. Okay, Minnesota. And by the way, our own Nate Jackson will be our intrepid reporter on the scene in Minnesota. Good for Nate on that. Tyler, is that where it's going to happen? Meaning the game is, what, August 13th, 14th, something like that. Will that game and that week of practice, will that really be enough? Or seriously, dude, do you think this is going to stretch all the way through the Rams game August 28th?
I think they're very hopeful that they could have somebody in the lead after Minnesota. We've got enough evidence to believe that. Vic Fangio said they were going to continue with this rotation for another three or four practices. Pat Shurmur and Vic Fangio today both acknowledged that it would be nice to let one guy take the entire practice and game plan around one guy for the entire day. I think what's going to change is you're going to come out of the Minnesota week. You're going to have one guy take probably 2 days worth of practices. Mm-hmm. Then you're going to see the other guy get 1 day. Mm-hmm. They're going to continue to try to split it up a little bit. But if you do the math, one guy's going to start getting more. And that's going to be the guy that they're trying to make earn the job.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the bonus with Minnesota with the joint practices, you do get to go, you get to choose who will go against their ones.
That's true.
And so it's not just the game. You get a couple practices like that, too. So you really have multiple opportunities to figure it out. I mean, that would sort of make sense. I mean, you'd have a month, almost a full month, after the Minnesota game before the Giants. I mean, that actually should be plenty enough time to get enough reps with your number one unit, you would think. We shall see. Ring of Kevin.
You know, you and I watch practice from different viewpoints, and you seem to be a little bit surprised by the way we felt watching it from up high and further away that the energy level was so dang low.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, maybe I'm putting words in your mouth, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like you didn't necessarily feel like the energy was as low as we did. What did you feel out there today?
Well, because I think I just had literally just because I was standing next to the field, a better view of, like, the running plays. And I know what it's like to watch up on the hill because I, in general, would prefer to watch up on the hill. But when it becomes down to mushy running plays, and it's really hard to see from up high, to be honest with you. At least that's what I found. And it is easier to see. So when, like, Mike Boone, like, has a really nice cut or a hole opens up, you can tell that from down low. And it is a little bit more difficult, I think, from up high. Whereas when it comes to passing plays, your view is up on the hill way better than me down on the sideline. So maybe that's what I was impacted by, because they did run the ball more than throw the ball. And when they did throw the ball, it was relatively short, never mind out of bounds on purpose. So I guess I was a little taken aback by the degree of boredom that set in for everybody watching up on the hill today. It did feel a little bit different, but when you want to just talk about low energy, I'm not going to argue with you on that. I mean, sure, I get that completely.
All right. It felt very low energy watching it from the hill up there, but hey, when you're running the ball well, that's not like the most exciting thing to watch
Correct.
In the entire world.
Correct, and they did run the ball well.
And down below, you might have felt a little bit different, so I was just curious, that's all.
That's
Ring
it.
It.
Ring it. Do you think Joe Judge, well, the big brawl with the Giants, including Daniel Jones jumping in on the pile and Joe Judge canceling practice early and making him run gassers, there's part of me that feels it's a little contrived by Joe Judge, meaning he's not that upset about it. In fact, he probably, in my mind, everybody's talking about the New York Giants today and how intense they were and all this sort of stuff. Tyler, do you think he's really upset, or do you think he secretly kind of loves it?
D-Mac, I have never had a coach that was authentically mad about a training camp fight.
All right.
Ever.
All right.
They all say the right things because they know that they can't tell you to go out there and fight. They all know that if I ever even imply that it's okay, the first time you get a 15-yard penalty, you can turn that back on me. But I have never once had a coach really be mad at you when you get in a fight during training camp.
Yeah, man, it feels a little made up. Doesn't every coach love, I can run you guys and I can punish you guys and we're going to cancel practice early and, man, I'm setting a tone. I mean, don't you think every coach kind of lives for those kind of moments a little bit? Because then he gets to be the good guy. Then he gets to come back and, you know, kind of straighten things out. The Broncos right now, I mean, Vic Fangio, dude, I don't see him, and I don't like yelling and screamers in general, but I never see him getting on anybody, ever. Do you?
Not really. I mean, Kolar, Reggie Herring, I still hear them out there. They're about the only two coaches I hear on the entire field that are kind of old school type of coaches that are getting after their guys in a loud, aggressive fashion.
Dude, when Kubiak was head coach, it was, every play was, like, loud.
Oh, man.
I mean, guys were just screaming. I mean, it seemed a bit excessive.
Mariani, Clancy. I mean, you could go down the list, man. Dude. They were all old school.
It was crazy. After every play, there'd be, like, nine coaches yelling at nine different guys. There was energy.
My mom would not be okay with what you just called me, Coach.
Ring it, Kevin.
All right, the details on this one are a little bit sparse. So we got to imagine a little bit. Unrelated to the NFL, college football.
Yes.
There's an interesting situation that's popping up.
Yes.
So we all know that we've got plenty of realignment that's going on amongst the conferences, okay? Well, the Big 12 and the Pac-12 commissioners, they apparently are in talks to, well, number one, they're in conjunction trying to prevent poaching of one another's schools. So they're trying to prevent any of that. But in addition to that, they're discussing a strategic partnership between the two conferences. So Big 12, Pac-12. I don't really know how that would shake loose, but it's kind of a fascinating concept to me of, okay, it's almost another way of getting rid of the NCAA entirely.
Right.
So it's like,
right,
now we're going to take a couple of the Power Five leagues instead of having a, or conferences, instead of having a super league, we're going to have our own little division, our own little conference.
Well, not so little though, but okay. I mean,
talk me through it a little bit. How could you see this unfolding? How could that partnership unfold?
I heard Chad Brown and Mike talk about this the other day, and it's the concept of tier A, tier B, tier C, which we were talking about it too, like a super conference and lower level and relegation. It was kind of the same conversation. Listen, if these conferences want to be relevant and stick together, and by the way, the Pac-12 has a brand new commissioner. So this is a lot to land on his desk right off the bat. But inevitably, because of NIL...
See, you're not going to talk about the office in San Francisco? You brought up the Pac-12 commissioner and you didn't go on a rant about the palace in San Fran?
Well, I think it still exists,
wow,
but there's a new guy in charge, so maybe they will move it to Provo.
Okay.
But who knows? It's a lot cheaper in Provo than it is in downtown San Francisco.
Thank you.
I've been to Corvallis.
I was just waiting for
I mean,
it.
I can keep going.
No. You
can be in that hellhole in Tucson if you want.
Killed it.
Stay
good
away
job
from L.A. and Berkeley.
Expensive.
That being said, you got to do something, Tyler, or it's all going to go away.
Yeah.
So what do you want to do? Because there's not going to be an SEC. There's going to be a super conference. And if you want to be relevant and have plush TV contracts, you got to figure it out. And you have to have relevance to your region to some sort of degree, I guess.
This is all moving towards NCAA having no purpose.
Oh, it could be the elimination of the NCAA.
So we've got the Super League of the SEC teams plus Texas, Oklahoma, whatever. Maybe they add in a couple others. Then Pac-12, Big 12, we're starting to feel a little bit threatened. So let's unite. Forget the Super League. We don't need them. We don't need the NCAA. We've got each other, and we've got enough teams amongst ourselves that we can operate independently.
Here's the problem, though, and I'll throw it back to you. If you do away with the NCAA, what is the motivation for colleges to have non-revenue-generating sports at all? Why even have them?
NCAA can still exist for the majority of sports. It can still exist even for basketball, a revenue-generating sport. It just so happens to be that the postseason model of football in college makes NCAA entirely irrelevant.
Yeah.
They've got nothing to do with any of the actual postseason performance.
Yeah.
So they've got governing rules. That's about it. Basketball, okay, they could get rid of it. They don't need the NCAA to have March Madness, but they still, they're a huge part of it. So I think every sport could still operate independently, and the NCAA, if it's removed from football, doesn't mean that there's not a need for it in other sports.
Yeah, let's not forget, it was a 9-0. Boy, you never have bipartisanship ever. A 9-0 vote by the Supreme Court where Brett Kavanaugh wrote, this would not exist anywhere in America in any other kind of business.
Right.
So let's not forget that. Ring in Kevin. Wrapping up. The Drive's analysis of Training Camp 50-50, Teddy vs. Drew, powered by Old Chicago Pizza and Tap Room. Thank you, Old Chicago. And several people were asking me today about, are we going to be out in Canton? I said, hell yeah, we are. Friday, August 6th, we're broadcasting the show live from TD's Tailgate Grill in Canton. Get all the info at denverfan.com/Hall of Fame. Mountain High Appliance presents the Drive's Hall of Fame Bash from Canton, powered by TNT Plumbing. I should ask you, because you seem to be the bell of the ball. If there's any new news for you when we go to Ken, if there's anything interesting there. I'm going to live vicariously through
No, not really. I mean, it's going to be a great weekend. We've got our festivities that are going on. We're going to be broadcasting. We've got three different shows that we'll be doing over the course of the weekend. I'll be going to the Atwater festivities, all of it that I can, be sitting down there on the floor, hanging out with the friends and family. Can't wait. This will be a first-time experience for me. I've never done this. I have been to the Hall of Fame as a rookie. I have not been there since. So it's been a very long time since I've even been to the Hall. I am looking forward to going to the Hall. And selfishly, they've got an archive of all the players that you could pull up footage of your career. Of course, I'll do that because I like myself and I'll watch my career.
There you go.
So I'll force you to watch it as well.
Happily. And
yeah. It'll be a great weekend, though.
Oh, yeah. It's a... quirky logistics because of when we have to travel. We'll actually miss the show on Thursday. We don't actually have a choice. So, and then we'll be there live on Friday. The Broncos actually have Thursday off.
Yeah.
Okay. With kind of a sub-energy level practice today, I don't know how the Broncos don't see it or realize it for themselves. Never mind, you know, we're going on 7 straight hours of ripping them for it. If you combine our show and the Zoakley show, I mean, it's just been, you know, they hear the show. And a day off on Thursday, and Vic Fangio actually saying, you know, basically tomorrow will be different. Do you have different expectations for tomorrow?
Better be balls to the wall, man. I mean, that's what it should be tomorrow. That's a last opportunity to go. You got to go, and you're going to be off the day after that, and if you don't go full steam tomorrow, when are you ever going to do it?
It sets up well. Like, if I had to encourage you taking a day off or, you know, going to training camp, what's the weather supposed to be like tomorrow, too? The weather's actually been great at training camp, huh? Hasn't been too hot.
No, today was great. It was a little bit gloomy. No, today was it was overcast. It was perfect.
Yeah. Tomorrow, actually, there might be some rain. Okay, might be a little sloppy. Ooh. Yeah, we could get some, you know, it looks all right. It looks like it might be a little bit rainy early in the morning, but the sun's coming out around practice time. All right, I'm just going to say this. If you were going to pick a practice to go to, tomorrow would be it.
It should be the most up-tempo practice of training camp.
Yep.
If today wasn't it, tomorrow has to be because they're off after that.
Yep, so there you go. If you haven't been yet, this is our best recommendation for going to a practice. Tomorrow would be the day. We do have a voicemail, another voicemail, man. In. I mean, on the heels of...
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
That was Pat Shurmur from earlier today trying to explain...
Talk about the shot heard around the world, man. I mean, he's got quarterbacks calling in from all over the world right now.
I mean, just to let you know the whole thing.
Today where we were actually trying to throw incompletions...
And why?
...to stop the clock.
Oh.
So you might say, holy smokes, that was a crappy throw, when no, that's what we were designed to do. So
okay. So we did hear earlier from Paxton Lynch, but we have a new voicemail. Is that right? Well, let's hear who's calling in.
Hello, yes, good evening, Coach. It's Tim Tebow here, and I apologize for calling you this late, but I heard some news, and I just felt compelled, something within me compelled me to give you a call, because I know I'm out here in Jacksonville right now, and I've somehow convinced the world that I can be an NFL tight end, but if incomplete passes are in now, that just changes everything for me, because as you know, I've wanted to be a quarterback since I was 6 years old, and I watched John Elway and Steve Young have all those game-winning drives, and I want that for me, too, and I know I can do it. Just without all the completions. And I really just think that this proves how misunderstood I was when I was there in Denver. And what better time than now to correct all of that? Let's go out there and have that intensity. Let's make that magic happen. If all you need me to do is not complete passes, then this is the moment I've been waiting for my entire life. So give me a call back and let's talk. Thank you so much. God bless y'all.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Great delivery. Great delivery. Oh, man. Tebow, he still sounds the same. Never takes a pause. Just keeps going.
The video will live forever. The ball coming out of his hand, going to absolutely nobody, kind of just working its way along the sideline and coming to a dead stop in front of the photographer.
Full of precociousness and wonderment.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, if that's what's all about, And he has dreamed of doing it since he was six.
Right, right. I mean, we're going to go back to the original dream now, though. I mean, we've been a few dreams removed.
What dream are we on right now?
Well, three at least, right? We got NFL QB. Broadcasting, is that a dream?
It might have been.
Okay,
so let's think about
right,
it.
So we got NFL QB.
Well, first, actually, technically, high school QB. Because don't forget, he changed high schools just so he could be a QB. Did you not know that?
I actually don't know that story.
Yeah.
No.
You got to read it in.
He was so bad in high school that he couldn't play quarterback.
Yeah. You got to read the leaflet. The autobiography that he wrote about his going to Nice High School.
Got you.
Because the high school his brother went to wanted him to play linebacker.
I did listen to that. I just forgot.
So that was one dream, playing high school quarterback.
Right. I mean, winning the Heisman definitely was a dream.
That was a dream.
Yeah.
Playing quarterback at Florida was a dream.
Right.
Chris Leak had other ideas, but he
three.
Did that three. Then. Okay.
Now getting drafted, that was a dream.
I would say being a first rounder is right up there, too.
Right,
right.
Right.
Josh made that happen.
So we're four.
Being a quarterback in the NFL.
Starting a game. So that's six.
Six.
Yeah.
Then it went right to playing baseball. And then, I guess playing tight end. Broadcaster.
Yeah.
Eight.
We're on the eighth dream. So if we
nine,
come back to quarterback,
ends.
I think that rounds it out at 10.
Okay.
Yeah. 10th dream. That's the magic number.
Hey, if you got a dream.
Not nine.
10. We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
Will there be a fight tomorrow?
No.
Oh, okay.
They'll visualize.
I'm ready for it.
They'll take a break.
No. I'm ready for it.
Coffee bet?
I'm ready for it.
Coffee bet.
You want it?
Yeah, I'm in.
There will be a fight.
There will be no fight.
Somebody get somebody! Put in the ledger. What the hell was that?
I want to. Somebody hit somebody! It's Will Ferrell. I know that much.
Put it in the ledger. There will be a fight tomorrow.
All right, I'm in.
Because it's not just the coaches and.
There was no signs of fighting today.
Oh, I know.
I didn't even see like a. There wasn't even like just a little dust up. I didn't see anything. No dust flying, nothing.
The players, I think, are a little bit more attuned to the media. Then this will all get back to him, by the way.
You know what you did, by the way.
This will all get back to him.
You know what you just did.
Plus, Brandon McManus probably will stoke the fire. What? Somebody hit somebody!
What? You know you ticked off sensitive Tebow fan.
Oh, you're kidding me. Did I really?
You ticked off sensitive Tebow fan.
Well, first of all, I didn't leave the voicemail.
You did. Yeah, Tebow called us, for the record. We didn't call him.
Wait, do we still have the Paxton Lynch?
Come on, don't hate on Tebow. Look at what the dude has done. People wish they accomplished one of the things in his... Yes, we know,
sure,
Jerry.
He's got a lot of dreams,
yes,
Jerry.
Yes, he's been very successful.
He's great. He's awesome.
I make fun of all kinds of successful people.
Hey, let's hear the Paxton Lynch voicemails, because we've got to keep that in mind as well.
Right.
Yeah, hey, Coach, it's Paxton Lynch here. I was out and about earlier today, and I heard that it's cool to throw incomplete passes now, eh? Now, to tell you the truth, I'm pretty excited about being up here and being a roof rider, but I gotta say, I think I missed the boot. I was a bit ahead of my time, eh? Anyways, I know that mark of mine is still up there on the wall, I betcha, so if you ever need somebody to throw really bad on purpose, eh? I'm your guy.
All right. Really important question.
Yeah.
You get to build your Madden character, right?
Mm-hmm.
You get to build your all-time dream incomplete pass quarterback.
Gotcha.
Who are you designing for Madden?
Well, I'm just going straight Kendall Hinton.
We were actually trying to throw incompletions.
All right, we'll talk about today's practice, and we'll go through it all if you miss it next.
Somebody hit somebody!
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbis here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Palumbis and D-Mac.
All right, Tyler, just to go over training camp, I guess we can start with the quarterbacks, but I thought it was a push, man. I don't know how you saw it, but I thought it was, I don't know. Am I right or wrong on that?
Well, I would start with practice in general, and the main observation is that it was supposed to be the first padded practice of camp, right? The first day of full pads. It's like you were going out there, you're getting fired up, you're Cecil Lammy, you're sitting in your car, you're listening to AC/DC or Pantera or whatever it is. You know, you're headbanging, you're getting ready to rock and roll. And then I got out there on the field, and it was like I was listening to Raffy put my kids to sleep. That's what it was like out
Raffy.
There today. Yeah, yeah.
Raffy.
Yeah, that's right.
It was a Raffy
yeah,
practice.
That's right. A little baby beluga.
Okay.
Baby right. beluga. Do you want me to keep going? I can't.
Sure.
I know the whole song by heart.
I'm feeling
right?
sleepy.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what it felt like. Talk about a sleepy practice. There was a winner today. It was Teddy Bridgewater.
It was
slight. I hesitate to give a winner on a day like today because nobody's worthy of it. It was a horribly boring practice. It was uninspiring. Honestly, the least amount of enthusiasm I think I've ever witnessed for a first fully padded practice
no
of
kidding.
Training camp.
Really?
It was pathetic, man.
Wow.
It was a snooze fest. Nobody deserved to win, but Teddy Bridgewater did, and it, off of some really electric plays. He had a 12-yard slant to Cortland Sutton to open off practice. That was the real bomb of practice for the record. And then later on, you know what he did? He had an 8-yard crossing route that he hit Jerry Jeudy on that went for a first down.
Okay.
Those were the separators, actually, in this practice today.
What about the period where they practiced throwing the ball out of bounds?
Yeah, that was they've been doing that every day now. They've been doing a situational drill to finish up practice. Not the way I probably would end in my first fully padded practice with a walkthrough drill to see who could throw the ball furthest out of bounds.
Pat Shermer said there were plays before. I know that one in particular, like who can throw the ball the furthest out of bounds.
Well, that was the final play. They each got one rep
they
at
did.
It.
But, yeah. but he said that during practice, I mean, they were really practicing throwing the ball out of bounds.
Yeah, I believe it. I hope so. I hope that that's true, actually,
well, that's
because
what he said,
maybe
yeah.
that explains some stuff. You know, we got to the midway of practice, and actually, you've got two midways, so I'm not sure which one's the midway. But
there's
you,
two
you,
water rigs,
two half times,
fatigue police,
right?
Yes.
And at one of the midways, there were 13 total passes, and of those 13 passes, we had 6 throwaways between the two quarterbacks. So almost half of your passes were thrown out of bounds simply because they were just throwing the ball away.
Well, I think. He said they were practicing it, so maybe that does explain it. Then.
I don't think that's what was going on in those situations. I mean, those were live drills. Those were live bullets. Maybe they were being intentional about if nothing's there, throw it away. Maybe that's what he implied by that.
Yeah, I think.
But it was definitely like those were live bullets. Those were real plays that they were trying to complete passes.
I think it was like if nothing's there, throw it away. And
okay.
So you know, if it was there, they threw it away.
Well, maybe that's what they were doing. There were 6 passes out of 13 that were thrown away. So clearly that was. Was emphasized to them at some point.
Well, let me go back to you then, I guess. What was, you know, padded practice for your time in the NFL? What were those practices usually like then? If today was just abysmal, what were they usually like?
I mean, it's usually like your Cecil Lammy sitting there getting your pregame show on for "Good evening, Colorado in the Rocky Mountain region. What is up for training camp on the first fully padded practice?" Like, that's what it's supposed to be like. And you usually get your first fight. You've got Dan Campbell out there saying that he wants his guys pushing guys to the limit, to the point where they're at least getting feisty with one another. This was Cupcake Central, man. I mean, honestly, I've never seen anything like it. Yesterday we had piped in crowd noise. We could have used some piped in crowd noise today. There wasn't even any energy on the hill.
That's funny because I did notice at the beginning of practice, I heard feedback. And they're like, oh, they're getting the speakers ready. Like, that was kind of
interesting. Oh, they killed it. They didn't do it today.
Well, there were not a lot of occasions. I mean, you know, in my notes, it's like great day for Mike Boone. Actually, Mike Boone did actually have a pretty good day. But you knew they were going to run the ball a lot on the first day of padded practice. Did that? I mean, was that a surprise?
Oh, it wasn't about running the ball. They looked pretty good running the football. I mean, right now my focus is on these quarterbacks. That's where my focus is.
Mm-hmm.
The quarterbacks had plenty of opportunities, and neither one of them looked good. The running the ball, okay, I guess that looked good from an offensive perspective. Defensively, I would look at it, and I would say it was a little bit concerning. Are we supposed to be the number one offense or number one defense in the NFL? where was that today? The offense was running the ball up and down on him.
Are you concerned at all about Von Miller not trying much during training camp?
Oh, I don't know about that. I mean, I don't know if it's a lack of effort that's going on out there.
Oh, really?
What do you think? I mean, are you accusing him of not trying? I mean, if you want to accuse him, go ahead. I haven't seen him making much of an impact, but it's not like I thought that he was out there loafing.
I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know if he's trying or not. Well, it kind of looks like he's not trying all that hard. But
really? Why?
I don't know. That's why I'm asking the question. I mean, if that's not how you're seeing it, then okay, maybe I'll look at it differently. I was watching one-on-one pass rush today, and it was like, oh, okay, that's it, huh? You know, not much there. And I'm just watching other dudes. Like, you watch every, you know, the younger guys. I mean, everybody's trying. And Vaughn was just kind of like, I don't know, man. It looks like he's just kind of walking through things. Doesn't look like it's...
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, I guess that's a pretty strong accusation that if that's what you've seen, by all means, you've seen it. I haven't seen him make an impact, so I'll give you that for sure. I don't have any notes from number 58 in a good way or a bad way, but I do usually notice when guys are loafing, and I haven't noticed him out there loafing at
all. I guess
all.
It was just during that pass rush drill. I mean, I haven't written his name or number down really at any point, you know, for any reason. And then I'm watching pass rush. He definitely wasn't given full steam at pass rush, that's for sure. But I don't know. I mean, Vic Fangio said tomorrow's going to be a more telling day.
Why?
I don't know.
Today was day one of full pads. Like, today is supposed to be the most telling day of training camp.
Okay. Well, he said tomorrow's the day.
Yeah, why? I mean, what was his explanation? What does that mean?
No clue. Then
what,
he talked about
telling in regards to what?
Well, I think it's going to be a more aggressive day today. I mean, he definitely made a point about they definitely stressed no fights. He said they talked about it last night. They were emphasizing it all day today. I think that probably just took the wind out of everybody's sails, to be honest with you. I mean, when
I don't know,
not to be that physical.
There was just something about, I think it starts with coaching. I think it starts with the style of leadership, and it trickles down. Mm. There's just no energy. Like, I'm not saying you got to go out there and fight people. No, not many coaches want fights on their practice field.
Right.
But there's got to be an extra spark on day one of pads. If the message today was, hey, fellas, let's be careful out there, that is the wrong message to be delivering. Now, of course, you want to be smart. Of course, you don't want to take anybody to the ground. And of course, you want to take care of your teammates. But this is the first day to go out there and pop one another. Let's see what you got. Like, this is the day to be looking for energy.
All right. Well, let's dig into it. Let's talk about expectations then for tomorrow. Do that coming up next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan. Here's Tyler Columbus and Dina.
All right. So, man, the Zoakley Show killed the practice today. You killed the practice today. I don't know. I guess it didn't stand out to me how boring it actually was. I was kind of into watching, like, the pass rush stuff. Like, it was the first time the big guys were going against the interior linemen, and outside linebackers were going against the tight ends, for example, that sort of thing. And just a quick note on that. Noah Fant, man, he's going to be out there the vast majority of plays. I'm not saying he's got to be some sort of blocking genius by any stretch, but holy cow, there are some moments that he just does not look what he knows what he's doing out there blocking.
He didn't make my notes, I guess, in that regard. I didn't notice what periods you're talking about. What happened?
Well, this is my advantage being, I guess, down on the field. It was just the one-on-one pass rush thing. I mean,
oh,
I just saw
him. Oh, if we're talking about one-on-ones, I've never seen a tight end win a rep of that. I mean, Noah Fant, that's
fair
probably
enough.
The last thing I'm going to judge Noah Fant on is one-on-one pass protection. Yeah, is he need to block every now and then? Sure. When Noah Fant's on the field, are we going to count on him in pass protection more than once or twice a game? Probably not. So, yeah, you're right. He is going to be out there in base personnel situations where we're going to need him to be more physical in the running game. Pass protection, I don't really care. Tight ends, if they're involved in pass protection, things aren't going well. That means you're max protect, and the day's not been going well at all.
I was watching when they were in some, like, you know, heavier formations. Like, who is that blocking tight end right now? I think it's that Salbert guy.
Yeah.
I think he's the dude.
You know, it's funny you bring him up because of all the kind of no-name camp bodies that have popped in, a couple years ago was Tim Patrick. Mm-hmm. We had Malik Reed. We've had a handful of guys every single year. That guy, and I'm not even quite sure yet the proper way to say his name. How do you say it?
Oh, man, I was thinking Stab Salbert.
Yeah, something along those lines.
I could be wrong.
82. 82 mm-hmm. is made my notes every day, both in blocking and pass catching. I don't know what it is about him, man, but he looks tall. He looks physical. I think he's going to be this year's Nick Vinette. That's what he's going to be for us this year. I think he's got a chance of making the team, and I think he's got a chance of being your more complete tight end on the roster. Now, that probably depends on if you're carrying Andrew Beck or not, and if he's counting as a tight end. But if he's as a fullback, then I'm going with 82. 82's got a chance.
We actually do have a fullback on the team. I'd be stunned if you even know who it is or what number he is. But we have one guy who's listed as a fullback.
I don't know who it is.
It's Tim. Well, I got it right. I got cheating, of course, here. Adam. See, I was wrong.
Tim Adam.
Adam Prentice.
Adam
Prentice, a rookie out of South Carolina who spent time at Colorado State. And I guess went to South Carolina for
undrafted free agent that I'm assuming.
Yeah. I mean, fullbacks in the NFL these days.
Right.
Okay, we had some fisticuffs with the Giants. That was a bit of a melee out there. We had Dan Campbell talking about you want to not fight, but get to the point that you got to have a fight or you're close to it. So what are you hoping and expecting for tomorrow if today was such a dud?
Well, I'm sure hoping to have a whole lot more enthusiasm and pop than we had today. I don't know what the message was for the guys. It sounds like you're hearing that there was a message of safety that was being delivered to them first. I don't mind safety being preached. Hey, you got to take care of one another, and we don't need any stupid injuries, and you've always got concern as a coach, day one of full pads, are we going to have a stupid injury? No problem. Protect the guys. Don't take them to the ground. Nothing extra. But if the message today was more focused on taking care of one another than it was on getting a little extra energy and a little extra pop out there, that's bad coaching. That's not what today's message should have been about. Today is about physicality, and today is about letting the big dogs eat. Like, hey, big boys, you've been out there doing your deal. You've been down there in the trenches now for about a week, and it's time to unleash you and let you go do your deal. If that was the message, I do not agree with that. Yes, okay. Take care of one another, but not on day one is not the day to be saying, hey, let's be extra careful out there. No, I like the Dan Campbell message. Like, now's your opportunity. Let's play football. Now's your opportunity to hit one another. We've been waiting all year long to hit one another. Go do it. Let's see who's more physical today.
Oh, that definitely was not the message, for sure. We'll see if that's the message tomorrow. I was, I asked Fangio about the fighting, and because everybody was aware of what had happened. By the time practice ended, everybody in the media was aware of what happened with the Giants earlier in the day. And, you know, Vic made a point about, you know, we talked to him last night and, you know, be careful and all that sort of stuff. And I said, well, have you ever gone through a training camp where there hasn't been a fight? No. And he goes, no, yeah. I mean, how many training camps has Vic Fangio been through?
Yeah, no, I've never been through one where there wasn't a fight.
Right, and he said the same thing. But then he said there's different types of fights. And so as soon as he said different types of fights, I was like, okay, there's good fights and there's bad fights.
Yeah.
You know, there's a difference. And so you want, fight is even maybe a strong word, because you don't have to have a fight. You just have to have a level of intensity that creates a moment of conflict, right? Like, you know, you don't necessarily want to just be flying fists at each other. Like,
if you don't have somebody that's pushing somebody hard enough that it ticks the other guy off, then somebody's not going hard enough. Plain and simple.
Mm-hmm.
If nobody got offended today, then nobody was going hard enough. As simple as that.
All right. I did not have a good eye on, like, the one-on-one passing. Was there anything, any mix-ups there? Was there anybody like kind of?
Oh, I was watching O-line, D-line, so okay. I don't know about that. I mean, I was leaving that to Stokely and all the prima donnas to watch that stuff. This was supposed to be big boy football today, so I was trying to watch the big boys, although I had a tough angle, couldn't see a whole lot.
Right. Did you see any interesting things O-line, D-line? Was there anything that stood out?
I did. I saw Garrett Bowles, Bradley Chubb got the very first one-on-one. I think that Bradley Chubb probably got the win in that one, although Bowles had a late anchor that was solid, looked respectable. Mm-hmm. You know who got flat-backed, and I mean flat-backed, was our boy Quinn. Quinn Miners got put on
his back. Oh, is that right?
Did not
see
that. I don't know who did it, because we were so far away, and I had so many bodies in the way.
Mm-hmm.
Just saw him get flat-backed. I don't have a ton of great observations. I mean, I was a mile and a half away from it, so it was tough for me to see a lot, but I was trying to.
I got a guy. Jonathan Cooper. We were talking about outside linebackers, right? How there's not a lot of depth there, that sort of thing. And he was a hand in the dirt sort of dude, I think, at Ohio State. And now he's, you know, he's standing up. That sort of, it's a different position for him. He had three. He said, I don't even know how you do this, but he said he had 3.5 heart surgeries in May.
Wow.
And is now feeling great and, you know, looking better. And I did see him, you know, kind of embarrass. No offense, maybe that's not a big deal, but I mean, to the degree of like, whoa, that would, like, it stood out in that sort of moment. So I'm kind of rooting for him. I got a guy to root for. I don't know if he's anything all that special, but I got a guy to root for. We did see Josh Watson flatten Albert O, and then it was funny afterwards. Like, Vic was like, "Well, he got pushed into him," and I'm like, "He did?" I mean, I was like standing like 5 feet from him. It looked like he just, you know. Didn't look like he got pushed into him for me.
Oh, I guess I missed that one, too. Guess like I sounds like I missed a good one.
That was the biggest hit of the practice that I saw. I mean, you know, Albert O caught a ball like kind of a screen. I think it was from Locke. It was from Locke.
Oh, I know. He got killed. That was towards the end of practice. Yeah. Yeah, no, I know the exact play.
They're like, he got pushed into him.
I put it in my notes. He got killed.
He got killed.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, here he kind of.
I didn't know who hit him, though.
Josh Watson, yeah. But, and it was like, okay, kind of like. I guess to your point, what you're saying, yeah, there were sort of these trigger moments that should have, okay, here we go, like, now we're, and it just, I mean, nothing happened.
No.
There was, like, no response, there was no...
It was a snooze fest, buddy.
It was nothing.
This was not what I was hoping for out of the first day of full pads. I thought both quarterbacks looked bad, and it was just a... energy zapper. Like, you know, all the energy just sucked out of that entire building, the entire field. The Hill had no energy. The players had no energy, and the coaches had no energy. Like none. You know what? Play some music. Do something. Play the fake crowd noise. I don't know. Do something different tomorrow.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll see if that criticism gets back to him. We'll see what Nick and Cecil think about that. That's next on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Hey guys, Tyler Palumbus here to tell you about my new friends at Assignar. Colorado contractors get paid faster and save big time money with Assignar managing their construction operations. From instant crew and equipment scheduling to digital time tracking and forms, contractors using Assignar are averaging $30,000 per year in savings. Collect data from the field to make informed decisions from the office with Assignar platform and mobile app. Go to keepbuilding.com to request your free demonstration of Assignar and see how much your business can save.